twice too for standing.
Sure.
Sitting.
It's a lot of words in that last one.
Go ahead and have a seat. Give us this day our daily bread. How many of you are really worried about that? Anybody worried about having bread today? How about tomorrow or next week? How many of you had breakfast this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, a lot of you did. How many of you are going to later? Going to have breakfast? How many of you are going to have lunch today? Probably. How many are you going to have lunch twice? Some of us. How about dinner, supper, whatever you call it? Yeah, probably. So, you know, that's the question that we need to ask this morning. Is this petition really relevant for us? Now, certainly in many parts of the world, it's very relevant. People are concerned each and every day whether they will have enough to eat. It's estimated that there are about 2 billion people on the planet who are hungry every single day. But what about us? Is it relevant at all? Well, I would suggest that it is, because as has already been intimated in the children's message and in our opening, there's a lot more to this prayer than just bread. And we know that intuitively. We know that by experience. We know that by reading the Bible. But what does it mean exactly? So what I want to do this morning is just go through the words of the petition very simply. And it begins with the first one, give. We begin there, give. We're asking God to do something. Now we just read from Exodus chapter 16, the very familiar story. The people of Israel were on that trek. They were not yet to the promised land, but God's people left slavery in Egypt, where they had plenty to eat. Now, slavery is not a good thing, and it's not a good life, but the people reminded God, at least we had enough food to eat. Come on, we're starving out here in the desert. So, after they grumbled, they complained, after they whined a bit, God hears them because he loves them and cares for them, and he sends this stuff called manna. Now, it's a literal translation from the Hebrew of the question. When they went out that next morning and God promised that they would have bread in the morning and meat at night, the next morning there were these things all over the ground, kind of looks like frost. They didn't know what it was. They picked it up and they ate it and they said it kind of tastes like coriander. And so they asked the question, what is it? That's manna. What is it? It's like when I tried to make a souffle one time, and it didn't turn out very well, kind of like most everything else that I cook. And I took it out of the oven, and I go, manna, what is it? I don't know. That's what the people of God were saying. So is that what we expect when we say, give us this day our daily bread? Hey, God, can you magically drop a Big Mac from heaven? I'm kind of hungry today. What about those country donuts? Can they just magically appear this morning? Well, of course not. We know better. God is not just going to magically drop food from heaven. What we're really saying is that we want God to provide for us and that we are willing to participate in the process. How many of you have ever gone out looking for a job? A lot of us have done that. So what did you do? You prayed, of course. Lord, send me the right job so I can provide for my family. And then you just sat in your home for the next 6 months waiting for that job to appear, right? That's exactly what you did? Of course not. You checked the want ads. You went to your industry papers. You connected with neighbors and friends. You put out resumes. You pounded the pavement. Maybe you even went back to school so that you could be more educated in your line of work. You made yourself hireable, didn't you? when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're not just saying, Lord, magically drop this stuff, whatever I need from heaven. Or how about when there's a relationship that is under repair? Certainly you'll pray, Lord, mend this relationship. But then you do something about it. You go to the person. If you have sinned against them, you ask for forgiveness. You repent. You try to find common ground with the person. You make amends if necessary. So when we say give, we are asking God to make provision. You know, in the New Testament, people had this problem. If you've read Paul's writings, you know that he believed that Christ was going to return soon. He has just ascended into heaven. And it is the expectation of the disciples that he's going to come quickly. And so a lot of people said, well, you know, why should I really work? Because the Lord may return next week. I don't need to store anything up. I don't need to go to work. I don't need to provide because the end is imminently near. So they got lazy and they sponged on everyone else who was still going to work every day. They had extra. Paul then writes, especially to the people at Thessalonica, and he says this: If a person will not work, he shall not eat. This is not just magic food that God is dropping from heaven. My friends, prayer is not meant to be a labor-saving device. I'll just pray and I won't go to work. That's not God's intention. Reminds me of growing up on the farm. There was one particular plot of ground that was adjacent to my father's farm. And for years and years and years, it was in disrepair. The weeds grew everywhere. The crops usually were planted late, if they were planted at all. I remember corn harvest many years for this particular farmer, usually done in September, maybe October at the latest. There were many years when it was Christmas, and this particular farmer was still trying to harvest his corn, which doesn't work too well, especially in the snow. Well, then it changed hands, and another farmer took it over, and he made vast improvements. And my father had said to him, you know, you and the Lord have done great work with this farm. And his reply was, yeah, we should have seen it before when the Lord had it all to himself, right? When we talk about provision, God sends the sun and the rain, and he has the seed, and he makes it grow. But he expects us to be a part of it. He makes the provision for us, but we are expected, we are anticipated to participate in his creative work. So that is give. When we pray, give. We're asking God's for his provision, but we are expected to participate. The next word there is us. It's not give me. Now, I know we're social distancing, but if you're next to someone that you can talk to, say, it's not give me. Can you do that? Say, it is not give me. It's not just about you. It is about us. It is about the collective. It is about the community. It is even about the world that this prayer is intended. We are not independent, as Pastor Herb said earlier, but rather we are interdependent. So when we're praying, we're not just praying for ourselves, but for our community, for our nation, and for the world, as well as our neighbor. And it seems like the church, at least in many places, has forgotten this. We've forgotten. Who is my brother? Remember, Cain had once asked that. Now, he had killed his brother, and we aren't doing that, but we are not providing like God expects. It's the reason in our country, because it was not this way in the New Testament, it's the reason in our country that we have welfare. It's the reason that we have Social Security. It's the reason that the government gets involved, because we as the church we as believers have not done our part. And my friends, it is not God's fault. It's not God's fault. He has made provision enough plenty for everyone. Now, one example. Go to India. There are many poor people in India. A lot of poverty, a lot of people in need. And yet the cows there are extremely well fed, aren't they? Because of the Hindu belief. You know, that cow over there, made you look. That cow over there might be your grandmother. So you're certainly not going to eat it. You're not going to provide it for your family. You know, the U.S. could give enough grain to India to feed all of their starving people. But we don't do that because it upsets the economy. It would hurt Sri Lanka, that little island nation just off the southern tip of India, which sells much of their grain to India. God has provided enough, and yet we as human beings, we as humanity, have messed it up. In fact, the World Food Bank says that there's enough food on this planet to feed 2 billion. There's almost 8 billion people on the planet. They say we could feed 10 if we really wanted to. 1,500 years ago, St. Augustine said this: find out how much God has given you, and from it, take what you need. The remainder, which you do not require, is needed by others. Those who retain what is excess, in effect, possess the goods of others. Another person put it this way: bread for myself is an economic problem. Bread for my brothers and sisters is a theological problem. And James writes this: if a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? Give us is not just for me, it's not just for you, but it is for our neighbor and our community and our nation and the world. Then there is this day. Have you ever wondered in the prayer, why doesn't it just say, hey God, give us the bread that we need, give us the food that we need, just plain give us what we need? Well, then we go back again to our story this morning. The people were grumbling, were starving to death. God says, all right, I will take care of you. But so that you trust me, this is the way it's going to go. Here are the rules. Every morning, there is going to be enough manna for you and your entire family. So first thing in the morning, go on out, collect as much as you need. And they would. And there would be plenty. Well, people didn't believe God, and so they hoarded it. But all the extra then spoiled. God gives you what you need. Well, of course, you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So God says the day before, go out and collect everything you need for today and for tomorrow. Because I don't want you working on the Sabbath. I want you to be with your family. I want you to be in worship. I want you to glorify me. I want you to remember where all the manna comes from. But again, people didn't listen. There was enough for that day and for the Sabbath. But if they hoarded, it all spoiled. Here's the point. Plenty was provided for each day. And all God asks is that you trust him. That you have enough faith that he's going to provide for today and for tomorrow. Jesus puts it this way: do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Would you agree with me? Each day has enough trouble of its own. And why do you worry about tomorrow? The point is that we are to live one, we are to live our life one day at a time. The past is gone. Don't worry about that. Don't put energy into the guilt of what you should have done. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't put your energy in what might not happen. Put all your energy into today, into the present, because all we can do is live in the moment. So this day, give us this day. And finally, the one that we're really concerned about, our daily bread. Truly what we are asking for in this petition is that God would meet our physical needs, our earthly needs. Luther puts it this way. Everything that is necessary for the preservation of this life is bread. So, food, healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, husband, children, good government, peace, and the like. The list goes on. The things that you need for this for this life. But the point is, necessities, not luxuries. Of course, that's what our whole culture is built upon. Getting more. We've confused what we need and what we want, haven't we? God says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. I even do that for the pagans. The sun comes up every day for everyone. The crops grow. Rain is sent. The seasons change. I do that for everyone. So how much more then will I do it for you, my people? So everything else then, look at it as a gracious gift. All the other stuff that we have is also a gift from God. And yet we need to be very, very careful about all of this. It's not just about the physical. We know that the spiritual is far more important. Again, Jesus says, you know, don't worry about today, or don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself, but rather focus on the kingdom, focus on the stuff that really matters, focus on the spiritual, focus on the heavenly. Focus on what is godly. And yet we know that we need all of these other things as well. We focus on the spiritual, and yet we know that Christianity is far more than a spiritual religion. By that I mean this. There are so many people who cannot comprehend God unless their physical needs are met. Even Gandhi said that a lot of people must first have bread before they will believe in a God. Well, our God not only takes care of the spiritual, he sends his son to die on the cross so that our most important need is met, forgiveness. Death is conquered and we have an eternal relationship with the Father. But he also takes care of the physical. And that's why as a church, we go to the food pantry once or twice a month to make sure that the people of our community are fed. It's why we have a clinic once a year to make sure the physical needs of people are met. It's why we have backpack drives and clothing drives to make sure that people's physical needs are met. So often for us, this is a prayer that we just gloss right over. Sometimes we even wish we didn't have as much bread as we do. For lunch the other day, when I ate my hamburger, I took the bread off. Too many carbs. But it's a real prayer for many. And for us, maybe the focus should not be on the give part, or the this day part, or the bread part, but on the us part. So I'll close with this. There's a man by the name of George Miller. Many years ago, He noticed a need in his community in Bristol, England. Many children were abandoned if they weren't healthy enough to work in the factories. The parents would simply kick them out. They were helpless and they were homeless. So George Miller began an orphanage, and he rounded up all these children, and he did his very best to take care of them. Every day he would pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And yet many days there wasn't enough food for those children. One particular evening, his staff came to him. They knew that there wasn't any particular church that supported them. They couldn't do any fundraising. And so all they did was pray. They said, "George, we're going to be really short. In fact, we have nothing left for breakfast tomorrow morning. What should we do?" And he said, "Don't worry about it. The Lord will provide." And as he retired that evening to go to bed, he got down on his knees and he prayed again with great fervor, "Give us this day our daily bread." And then he just went to sleep like he always did, with no worries about the next day. In the morning, he instructed his staff to set the breakfast table like they always did and to expect provision. Very soon, there came a knock on the door of the orphanage, and it was a local baker. And he said, "George, you know, I couldn't shake this feeling all night. I could not sleep. I felt like the children here needed some bread. And so I got up in the middle of the night, and I baked extra bread and rolls, and I have a whole cart full for the children." After they had unloaded all that precious bread, it wasn't long, and there was another knock on the orphanage door. And it was a local dairyman. He said, "George, my cart just broke down right here in front of the orphanage. I know that if I don't get it fixed soon, all the milk will spoil. I don't think I'm going to have enough time. Would the children like some extra milk this morning?" And they brought it all in for those children. "Give us this day our daily bread." George focused on the give part, knowing that the Lord always provides. But I would suspect that the baker and the dairyman were focused on the us, doing whatever they could to make sure that others' needs are met. My friends, that is who we are as a church. We begin with the essential, which is the spiritual. And we point people toward Jesus Christ. Because it is only through him that one can have a relationship for eternity with the Father. We focus on our relationships with one another because that is all that we can take with us to heaven. All the other stuff that the world says we need, we look at as a temporary gift. But then we also realize that so many people are struggling. And we have so much more than we truly need. God has given that to us as well, so that we might provide and make this prayer come to fulfillment. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.